Today we're finishing Masechet Me'ilah. We're going to learn through the beginning of tomorrow's daf, and then after Yom Kippur we'll pick up with the new Masechet, which is Masechet Kinim, which is all Mishnah. Okay, a bit of a change, bit of a unique. We'll see. We'll talk about the next three Masechtot, which are a bit different than the rest. Okay, we'll get to that on Thursday. Okay, the Mishnah at the top of Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Amar lo, we're still with the issue of Shlichut. Amar lo haveli min achalon o min adluskema. If he says, please bring me from the window or bring me from this chest, vehevi lo, and he does exactly what he asks him. Af al pisha amar balabayit lo hayabili bi elam izeh, even if the balabayit says, oh, that wasn't, I didn't mean that money, okay, but that's what he took. So, ma'al.
Okay. Any hektish?
What? So the assumption is, he says, go bring me that money that's over there. He brings him the money that's over there, and then he uses it. Right, he has to use it, otherwise just bringing it isn't enough. But the assumption is that the money that he brought him was hektish money, which he didn't know, but he said, oh, but that wasn't what I was intending. I was thinking this goes on all the time, right? I ask my husband to bring me something, right? And then I say, oh, bring me, it's over there. And it turns out that wasn't what I wanted. Like, I thought it was over there. When I said it, that's what I thought. But it turns out that wasn't the one that I wanted. The one that I wanted was really somewhere else, right? This goes on all the time in my house. I don't know about your house, but right, you just assume, oh, that's what I thought it was there. But it turns out I was wrong. Well, it's my fault because I asked my husband to get me what I asked him to get me. You know, I didn't ask him to get me something else, even though what I really wanted was something else. Okay, and this is all about your thoughts. Okay, the Gemara is going to say that right away. Dvarim shebalev inam dvarim. Right, that's what it's trying to tell you here. Aval im amar lo haveli min achalon vehevilu min adluskema. Oh, min adluskema vehevilu min achalon. But this also goes on in my house, right? You ask someone, bring me the item from there, and they bring you from totally somewhere else. They weren't really listening, and they just bring you that. Right? What do you learn? Do it yourself. But they bring you the wrong thing, then hashaliach ma'al. Then, of course, the shaliach, it's their responsibility because they brought you the wrong thing. They were what we said, shinami balabayit. We saw this yesterday. Shalach biyad cheresh shoteva katan. If you send something, now instead of picking a regular shaliach, you pick a cheresh shoteva katan. Okay, the cheresh shoteva katan are not b'nei da'at. Okay, they don't have their own mind. And yet, we're going to see here, if you send with them, imasu shlichuto balabayit ma'al. Now, if they did exactly what he asked, then they are considered shlichim, and therefore, what happens? The balabayit, he's responsible. Lo asu shlichuto, but what if I send a cheresh shoteva katan to buy me something in the store with this money? Now, I didn't know the money was hektish, but it was hektish. So I give it to them. If they buy it, right, and they do it, so then I'm responsible. But what if they go and they take the money and they buy something else and not what I asked them? So now, what's the problem? Well, I'm not responsible because they didn't do what I asked. They're not responsible because they're not b'nei da'at. So here we're going to learn something that we haven't talked about yet, which is if me'ilah is only shogeg. Now, what happens when I'm mo'el? The money becomes chulin, but only if I'm actually mo'el. But if I'm not mo'el, meaning in this case, I wasn't chayav me'ila, and the cheresh shoteva katan weren't chayav me'ila, which means the money still is hekdesh. So who's going to be mo'el now? The chenvani. Okay, so this is very interesting, right? This is the risks of being a chenvani all of a sudden we're going to learn. So what do they say? Chenvani ma'al. When the chenvani takes that money, now when he gets the money, he's not mo'el. When he takes the money and he goes to buy something with it in his friend's store, right? When he takes that money and uses it, he's chayav me'ila. And then it goes out to chulin. So it's a very interesting scenario that happens here, that a chenvani all of a sudden becomes responsible. And he really had no idea. Shalach biyad pikeach. Here's another case. He sends it with someone who is bardat, regular person, regular shaliach. Vinizkar ad shelo higia etzal chenvani. Now, before the guy gets to the store, the shaliach, he remembers that it was hektesh. Okay, so the balabayit says, oh, I remember now this stuff was hektish, but now there's no WhatsApp, so you can't tell the guy, right, who's on his way to buy it. So now what happens? Well, now it's very interesting because the balabayit is not moel. The shaliach can't be moel because the shaliach is only a messenger of the balabayit. And if the Baal HaBayit already is not Me'ila, because he knows for sure it's Hekdesh, that, and the Shaliach is only acting as a function of him, he also can't be Mo'al. So again, we're going to say Chem Vani Ma'al L'Chishe Yotzi. So the Chem Vani is responsible again because no one else is responsible. It's like in the absence of anyone else being Mo'al, he becomes the next in line. So here, at least, they give a solution. Ketzad Yaseh. So let's say you're sitting in your house and you realize what you've done. What's the best thing? What should you do? Notel pruta o kli. Take a pruta from your house. Or a kli, right? Something that's worth a pruta. Vomer, and say, recite the following. Pruta shel hekdesh b'kol makom shehu. Wherever my hekdesh money is, mechulal al zeh. Okay? Will be redeemed. I'm taking the hekdesh from there and I'm putting it on this coin. This coin is going to be replace that coin, or this kli is going to replace that coin. And why does this work? Sheh hekdesh nifdeh b'kesef u'b'sheva kesef. Okay? One can redeem hekdesh with money or something that's worth money, and therefore that's what one should do if you're sitting in your house and you realize you made this terrible mistake, so that you don't mess up the chen vani.
Is that only in a case where, like, there's no bar dat, or actually chen vani is a bar dat, but
no, this is dafka when there was a bar dat. He sent the shaliach. So it's just the shaliach doesn't know.
As soon as
that
you realize something, that what you've done, even if it's down the chain of other people, no matter who the people are.
Yeah. This can apply in any of the circumstances.
Say it again.
That as soon as you realize you made, you let go of misuse. Money, then you can fix it.
Yeah. Well, okay. So this is the thing. It sort of depends on how soon you figure it out and what stage it's at. And it'll help if you do it before the Chem Vani actually spent the money. Once he spent the money, well, then he was Mo'al already. You're saying, I'm going to redeem it onto this coin, doesn't help anymore because it's already, remember, as soon as Me'ila happens, the money becomes Hulin anyway. So you'd have to, and that's what would have to happen. Again, we don't know whether anyone even knows that this, right? How's the Chem Vani going to know when he purchases something that the money he got was Hekdesh? He'd have no way of knowing. So first of all, if you do this before, well then, at least he doesn't have a sin on his head, even if he doesn't know he has a sin on his head. But if they would to figure out, you'd say, I use that money, and if he could trace that money, I don't know how he'd be able to trace the money. It would be quite complicated. But then, you could figure out, when did you do it? Right? The assumption is that you figured it out while the shaliach was still on the way. That's the assumption, and somehow you knew. Okay. So now we go back to the first case. You say, bring it to me from there, and that wasn't really what you meant, but that's what you said. So, my kamashlan, what's coming to teach us? Obviously, if you said that, then you're Moel and not the Shaliach, because the Shaliach did what you wanted. Well, it's coming to teach you, Dorim Shabalev Enam Dvarim, which we've seen many times, right? You have to say it. If you don't say it, right, whatever you think in your heart doesn't really matter. Shilach biyad cheresh shotev katan. So again, we said, if you send the cheresh shotev katan, you must sue. If they did exactly what you asked, then you're chayav in Me'ila. So now they say, how could this work, actually? Think about it. V'ha'la b'nei shlichut aninu. They're not capable of being shlichim. So if I send the cheresh shotev katan to spend my money, and my money was hekdesh by accident, I didn't know, and they do it, they're acting on my behalf. If you say shlucho shel adam kamoto, so I'm chayav in Me'ila. But you can't say shlucho shel adam kamoto when it's someone who's not bar shlichut. A cheresh shotev katan can't be shlichim, so theoretically I shouldn't be Moel either. So why is it? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, asa'um kematan shel zeitim. It sounds a little weird. The rabbis made them like a vat of olives. Okay, what does that mean? Very strange. So a vat of olives, what's true about a vat of olives? So if you put olives in a vat, now here we're talking about the issue of when do olives become susceptible to impurities. Now, in order to become susceptible to impurities, you need a liquid to come upon them. And a liquid to come upon them, if you remember, with intent, that you wanted the liquid to be upon them. If a liquid comes upon them that you didn't want, that's not intentional. That doesn't help for tuma purposes. So it says, Ditnan, hazeitim me'ematam kablim tuma, mi sheyaziu ze'ata matan velo ze'ata kupa. When they sweat, okay, what happens? Zeitim, they sweat. Now, if they're in a kupa, which is a basket with holes, then what will happen to that? If I put it in a basket, then obviously I didn't want the liquid to be upon them. I wanted it to fall out through the holes. But if I put it in a vat where it doesn't have holes, what I wanted is, I wanted the liquid to be there. Now, why do I want the liquid when it sweats, the juices that start naturally coming out? Because it softens the olives, which makes it easier to make oil out of them. So I wanted it there. So if I put it in a vat, even though the vat doesn't have any knowledge, it becomes, right? When they sweat, it's as if I wanted the vat to do the work for me. So basically, it's like a receptacle, for, right? You can, something else can do the work. So because I wanted it that way, it's considered intent. Likewise, when I sent the Cheresh HaTavakazim, they actually did it, right? You send your little kid to do an errand for you, right? And they succeed, it's great, right? You wanted it done, and it got done. So, you know, maybe you couldn't rely on them 100%, but it actually got done. So if it actually gets done, it shows that was what you wanted, right? It shows retroactively that was your intent, and therefore your intent happened, and therefore you are responsible. And we're going to have another example. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kotasha Shaninu, if you remember this one, it's a funny case. Nitano al gabe akof v'holicho, o al gabe apil v'holicho, hare ze eruv. When it comes to Shabbat, you can't walk out of the tchum more than 2,000 amah, the tchum of the city. If you want to go on a farther walk, what you can do is you can be what we call konesh shvita. You put food down in a place that's within 2,000 amah of your city, and then you have a new 2,000 amah. That's basically your new place. You're saying, this is where I'm going to be for Shabbat, even if you're not there when Shabbat starts. If your food is there, you're konesh shvita, and then you have 2,000 amah from that spot. So what if you didn't put the food there yourself, but you sent a trained monkey or a trained elephant to put it there, and they put it there, it works. So even though there obviously can't be a shaliach, but they did what you wanted, and therefore it works. Okay. So Alma kavta shlichute, hachinami itavit shlichute. Right there, his intent was accomplished. Likewise here, your intent was accomplished. Shalach biyad pikeach. Okay, so now what if you, this was the last case, you sent biyad pikeach, and then you remember all of a sudden that it was hektesh money, but he hasn't yet gotten to the chemvani, so you're not moel because you obviously know now, so you're not shogeg. The shaliach is only acting on your behalf, so he can't be moel. So who's moel? It's the next person in line. It's the chemvani when he spends the money. Va'af agav delo idkar shaliach. So now they say the assumption is the way we understood. It seems even though the shaliach doesn't know, right? But then, that seems to contradict this following source, Ruminu. Nizkar balabayit, velo nizkar shaliach, hashaliach ma'al. But this seems to contradict the following statement, that if the balabayit remembers, but not the shaliach becomes responsible, because he becomes his own person at that point, because I don't want him doing what I wanted him to do. So Amar Rav Sheshet, matnitin kishenizkeru shnehem. So Rav Sheshet explains, the Mishnah must be a case where both of them, you know, he remembered, and either he got word to the shaliach or some of the shaliach remembered. And yet he used the money anyway, and then it becomes the responsibility of the chemvani. Seems like a bit of a strange case if that would happen, because, first of all, you would think he wouldn't use it knowing. Seems a little weird. But again, if he's intentionally doing me'ila, then the money doesn't leave hekdesh, right? It only leaves hekdesh status when you don't have intent, when it's shogeg. New case. Natan lo pruta. So he gives him a pruta, and he says, I want you to spend half the money on, now nerot is not candles, it's the kli, the utensil that they would use to put the oil in and the wicks. So it doesn't really matter for our purposes, I'm just letting you know. So half of it nerot, half of it the wicks, the ptilot. Halach vehevilo bekula ptilot o bekula nerot. Instead of spending the whole pruta on, half a pruta on erot and half a pruta on prutot, he spent the entire pruta either on ptilot or on erot. O sha'amar lo haveli b'kula erot or b'kula ptilot, or the reverse. He says, buy with the pruta erot or ptilot, v'halach vevi b'chetzia erot or b'chetzia ptilot. And then he bought either half wicks or half the vessel for the oil. Shnehem lo ma'alu. In this case, what's the problem? Well, the me'ila, half, the shalech did half of what he wanted, so half of it's the shalech's responsibility, half of it is the owner's responsibility. Sorry, I should have said the reverse, because right, the half he did with the shalech, what the owner wanted, so it's the owner's responsibility, the other half not, but each is only half a pruta, so there's no me'ila, because it's not enough to be chayav in me'ila. Aval amar lo, haveli b'chatzia nerot mimakom ploni, u'b'chatzia ptzilot mimakom ploni. But if he switched what he asked him, he said, I want candles from there, the kli from there, and I want the wicks from there, and he reversed it and brought them from the wrong store, then hashaliach ma'al, right? Don't you imagine in your head all these scenarios of like sending people to buy things for you and your, right, your family, and things going a little bit wrong? Okay. So or for that matter, orders on the internet, right? You order something and the wrong thing comes, that also can happen. Okay, so if you say, do that, and he totally messed up, then he's got, right, then the shaliach ma'al. Natan lo shtei prutot. Now we have a case, he tells two prutot. V'amar lo lech v'haveli etrog. Okay, it's not going to be, it's going to be a different kind of case. You say, go buy me an etrog with the two prutot I'm giving you. Now there's an assumption, this is interesting. There's an assumption that if I gave you a certain amount of money to buy something, I meant that you should spend all that money, right? This is funny, because if you send your kids with money to the store, you don't actually intend, right? They might like end up spending all that money, even though you didn't intend to actually have them spend the money. But the assumption here is that you gave him money and you wanted him to spend that money on the etrog. And then what did he do instead? Halach ve'vilo be'achat etrog u'be'achat rimon. He bought you an etrog and a rimon. Okay? Shnehem ma'alu. Okay, both are chayav me'ilah. I was thinking, this reminds me, there was a sugya where it talked about that you can't be yotze, your chi of etrog with a rimon. Like you might think, what's the connection of rimon and etrog? But actually, they connect in some other sugya. Okay. So he buys him one pruta, he takes and buys an etrog, and one pruta, he takes and buys a rimon. So again, shnehem ma'alu, because the first one he did like he asked. And we're going to see, did he really do like he asked, though? Because he really wanted an etrog that was worth two prutot. But we're going to say, no, he wanted an etrog, he got an etrog, and he spent the other money on a rimon, so there he was mo'el on that, right? The shliach's responsible for the rimon, the balabayit for the etrog. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, Rabbi Yehuda omer balabayit lo ma'al. Shehu omer lo etrog gadoli yitim mevakesh ve'evetali katan v'ra. I wanted a big etrog, and you brought me this measly, ugly etrog. That's not what I wanted. Okay, and therefore he says, you didn't do my shlichut at all. It's a very interesting question. Right? If you buy something for a lower price, right, and a less valuable one, is that what I want? Again, natan lo dinar zahav. Here there's a bit of a problem with the math. Okay, a dinar zahav is worth 25 dinare kesef. 25 dinare kesef, okay, a sela is worth 4 dinarim. So 6 Slaim would be worth 24 dinare kesef, which is one less than a dinar zahav. But the Gemara is going to talk about it, the Mishnah is going to talk about it as if 26 slaim, which is 24 dinare kesef, is equal to 1 dinar zahav. Okay? Often they're not midayek in their mathematics. Like we've seen this many times where it's be'erech, it's not exactly, which could be what they're doing here. Or, and not because they were mistaken, they were just trying to give round numbers. They were trying to make it simple. They weren't trying to be a math book here with calculations. Another option people say to try to answer it, because they want to say, oh, obviously they were meduyak, is that when we say it's worth 25 dinare kesef, it's really just that when you would exchange them, you would have to pay a little on the commission, and that's why it's worth, when you change it, it's worth 25, but it's really worth only 24. That's one possible explanation. But in any case, that's not so important. It's just an aside here. Natan lo dinar zahav. He gave him a dinar zahav. Amar lo lech va'veli chaluk. This is the exact same case, just with different. Right? Go buy me a robe or a cloak. V'halach ve'vi lo b'shlosha chaluk u'b'shlosha talit. So he spent 3 slaim, half the amount on the chaluk, and 3 slaim on a talit. Shnehem ma'alu. So again, it's the same thing. Both are chayavim ila. And again, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda omer balabayit lo ma'al. Shu omer lo chaluk gadoli yiti mevakesh ve'vetali katan v'ra. So now the Gemara says, Shmat Mina, sounds like you can infer from here, Manda Amar Lishlucho, Zil, Zabin Li Kura Da'ara. If someone said, go sell a core, it's a certain measurement of my property, that amount, Va'aza V'Zabin Li Litra, and he sold half a core of his property, Kane Lokeach. It sounds like you want to say from here that it works. In other words, again, if the Shalech does half of what he wanted, right, or half of, in other words, the question here is exactly, what did he sell it for? I just want to check one thing. Right, that in other words, you wanted him to sell the whole thing and he found someone to buy part of it, which maybe messes you up in the end, but it sounds like it works. In other words, just like buying the chaluk for 3, even though you asked him to buy it for 6, would also work. So it sounds like it's a good kinyan, and you can't say, what would you think? You'd say, oh no, theoretically, the owner could come back and say, what do you mean? I didn't want to sell half my property. I wanted to sell my whole property. And therefore claim it's a mekach taot. And according to this, it sounds like you couldn't claim it was a mekach taot because the shlech did part of what you asked. Okay? So now, they say, could one infer from this? So Amre, no. Because hacha hechidami, what's the case in our Mishnah? Now we're going to learn the case in the Mishnah is not what you thought it was. The case in the Mishnah was, it wasn't that you bought a measly etrog and one that was only worth one, or a measly chaluk that was worth three slaim. But it was a case kigon da aitele shaveh shisha b'shalosh. He gave you a six slaim chaluk for three. It was half price. It was a half price sale. So what did the shaliach say? Well, half price sale. I'll buy this and I'll buy you something else, right? So now they say, wait a minute. How could you say, so first of all, okay, and then it's not comparable to the case of the land, because the land, he really wanted to sell half the whole property, and he didn't do it. In this case, he wanted something worth this, and he got something worth this. It just, you know, cost less, and the shaliach did something with the rest of the money. So, ema seifa, but that doesn't make any sense to say that he bought him a shaveh shisha b'shalosh. Why? Because it says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, balabayat lo ma'al, shu yachol omar lo chaluk adole yitim mevakesh ve'evetali chaluk katam v'ra. Rabbi Yehuda makes no sense in the Mishnah, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you clearly bought something that was worth less. So, what are the answer? Oh, no, you could. De amar le yavid dinar, kule aitil, yavid le dinar kule aitil li shaveh shnei dinarim. In other words, since it was a half price sale, you should have bought me a nicer one for the full money that I gave you. Right? This is interesting in terms of thinking. Is that really what you would have wanted? Like, theoretically, the shaliach to me sounds like they did the right thing. They got you that and they got you something else. But they're saying, why didn't he really do what you wanted? Because, right, you, as according to, again, according to Rabbi Yehuda's understanding, once you were giving him the money for that item, you should have bought him a nicer item. Okay. Hachinami mistabra dekata, and this also makes sense. Why? This is the explanation, because it says in a Tosefta, Mode Rabbi Yehuda bekitnit sheshnehem ma'alu shakitnit bepruta bekitnit bedinar. If it was not a chaluk or something like that, but it was kitniot, like just buying something that is generally sold by weight, and it's always right. It's the price is always the same, even though we all know that it's not necessarily the case. Depending on what store you go to, you can buy the same item for different prices. But the assumption here is that the shuk, the rate is basically the same, and you're not going to get any more. Basically, if you wanted X amount, so you wanted X amount, that's what you got for that price, and you know the price doesn't really fluctuate so much. And therefore, if that's the case, a kidney bepruta and kidney bedinar, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would agree in that case that you're not getting anything less than what you wanted. And therefore, right, it's not like there's a better value. The assumption here is there's not like there's a high level. It's interesting because you could say, right, nowadays for sure, you know, you go to the store to buy quinoa, you could buy a better quality quinoa. I mean, maybe one would argue that there isn't such a difference, but some people might claim, oh, that's better than this one, right? You can get into a whole thing about this. But theoretically, quinoa is quinoa, right? What's the difference? You're not going to get something better value. A chaluk, you can get a nicer one, better threads, better, you know, all sorts of things. So then they say, so hechidami. So now they say, so what's the case though? Iba atra dezavne b'shuma, gabe kitni nami diyav sela mozle leitfe. He says, no, but what's the case though of the kitni? If it's in a place where they sell not by weight, but by estimation. Okay, you go to the shuk and they'll throw in and they'll just kind of say, oh yeah, take this. So then it is, if you're going to buy more, then you're actually going to get more for your money. Because the more money you spend, the cheaper, the more stuff they'll give you, right? If you're going into the shuk and they're going to just kind of throw you and say, oh yeah, give me 10 shekel, I'll give you this. But if you're going to pay 20 shekel, they'll give you even more for your money. So therefore, there is a difference. If you would have spent the whole thing, the guy would have actually gotten more for his money. Not better quality, but better more quantity. Okay? So if that's the case, then you can't say that. So therefore, they say it must not be the case, because then there would be no difference. And Rabbi Yehuda would agree there. You know, Rabbi Yehuda would keep to his original position. And therefore, Amar Papa, Beduchta de Mezabne Bekane Kane Kana. Okay? But yeah, so there's actually one extra one here. It's where they sold it in boxes, where, you know, bepruta, and it's kana bepruta. Okay, and it's, he bought it bekane, he bought it in a box, and it's each box is a pruta, and it doesn't matter how many you buy, you can buy 20 boxes, it'll still be a pruta box. Dehatan pasik miltai, because there's absolutely no difference. Okay, hamafkid ma'ot nu mishnah, etzel shulchani. If you bring money for a shulchani is a money changer. So you bring money to a money changer to watch for you. You say, I'm going to come back in a few weeks, I'll get my money. In surin, so now it depends. Now it turns out the money was hekdesh. If they were bound up, okay, like you put them in a big envelope and you sealed it and you said, please watch my money, what did you obviously mean? I don't want you using my money. Therefore, lo yishamesh b'hem, and therefore, lefichach imotzi ma'al. If he used the money, because he's a money changer, he said, oh, I have this money, I'll give him other money when he comes back, I'll give him different money. So, ma'al, right? Obviously, the shulchani is mo'el. Im mutarin, but if you kept them untied and you just brought a wad of cash to the guy and said, I'm going to come back in a few weeks to pick up my money, you know, can you watch it for a few weeks? Then yishtamesh b'hem. Therefore, he's allowed to use it because the assumption is you gave it to a money changer. You didn't bind it in a, you didn't put it in any sort of binding. You obviously intended, you knew he was probably going to use it, and therefore he's allowed to. Lefichach im hotzi lo ma'al. Therefore, if he uses your money, and it turns out it was hekdesh, it's not his responsibility, it's yours. It's a balabayit. But now, let's take that, let's copy that scenario. Instead of giving it to a money changer, who do you give it to? A regular person. Well, there's no assumption. If I give someone money to watch, the assumption is I didn't intend for the person to use it. I intended for them to watch it. So if I gave it, it's a balabayit, ben kach u ben kach lo yishtamesh b'hem. He's not allowed to use it whether I wrapped it or didn't wrap it. Lefichach imotzi ma'al achem vani. Ma'al. Imotzi ma'al. Now, what about a chemvani, a storekeeper? Now, a storekeeper sometimes changes money, but that's not really what he generally does. So what do they say? A chemvani kebalabaya tiver Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer kashulchani. There's a machloket. How do we treat this in between case? Is he like a shulchani? Is he like a balabaya? Last case, and this is the case Gemara is going to deal with. Naflap hutash al hektesh betoch kiso. Okay, what happens? A pruta of hektesh gets mixed up in my wallet. A kis is not a pocket in the Gemara. It's usually, or in the Mishnah, it's a wallet. Gets mixed up with chulin money, regular money. Oh, shamal pruta b'kise hekdesh. Or I said one pruta in my wallet is hekdesh. So now we don't know which one. Kevan shotziat harishona ma'al divrei Rabbi Akiva. He says the first one you take out, you're already chayv in me'ila immediately. And now what do we call this? This is safek me'ila. You'd have to bring an asham taloi. V'chachamim amrim ad shotziat kol akis. Why ad shiotziat kol akis? Because if you remember, there was a homachloket about safek me'ila. Because remember, normally we do an asham taloi for a korban chatat, right? For something that you're chayav a chatat. For me'ila, you're chayav an asham. There was a whole debate we had about is there, for asham me'ilo, do we say, you know, you do bring an asham taloi? So here we have a scenario where we're not sure what happened. A pruta fell into hektesh. It's all mixed up. We don't know. So what do we say? Right? According to Rabbi Akiva, you take out the first one, you're already chayav. According to Chachamin, you have to take out all the money until you're going to be chayav. You're not going to be chayav vadai until it's vadai that you use this hektesh money. Umode Rabbi Akiva l'chachamim. However, Rabbi Akiva is mode in the following case. This is going to be very strange. Bo'omer pruta min akis ze hektesh. A pruta from this kis is hektesh. Now, why is that different than what we said before? This is one of those cases you have to go look back at what we said. Because didn't we just say that? Before we said pruta b'kis zehekdesh, and here he says pruta min kis zehekdesh. Doesn't sound very different, but right, the pruta in a pruta in this wallet is hektesh versus a pruta from this wallet is hektesh. Okay, we don't really know what the difference is, but in that case, Rabbi Akiva's mode shu motzi v'holech ad shiotzi et kol akis. Even Rabbi Akiva agrees that you're not chayav me'ila until you got the last one. Now we're going to have three versions, and this is where we're going to end today. Three versions of a question Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan about these cases, this last case particularly, in order to understand what this last case is, and Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of what the case is. Now, what's going to be the same in all these, the constant is Rabbi Yochanan's answer is going to be the same, but Rish Lakish's question is going to change with each girsa. Ki ata ravdimi amar. When Ravdimi came to from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he told us the following thing, that Rame le Rish Lakish le Rabbi Yochanan. The Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan the following question. Maishna resho, maishna seifa. What's the difference between pruta b'kise hekdesh and pruta min kise hekdesh? So, amar le seifa ba'omer lo yiftor kise min hekdesh. This is the simplest girsa. Okay, he just basically asks, what's the difference? And Rabbi Yochanan answers, it's where he said, it's not really the wording that we saw in our Mishnah, it's that he said, lo yiftor kise min hekdesh, meaning, this kis will never be without hektesh money. So what does that mean? That means that you meant the last thing to come out of there is going to be hektesh, because it's always going to have hektesh until you finally take out that, right? So the last one you meant was hektesh. That's the first way of reading it. So again, the answer Rabbi Yochanan is going to explain, no matter what, that's the case the Mishnah is talking about. So we already have an answer to our question. That's what it means. It meant when you said, this will always have hektesh in it. But we're going to have a different two other different opinions about what the question was that Rish Lakish asked. Ki ata Ravin, when Ravin came, these are all the people who went back and forth. Right? They're called the Nichute, the Yordim, because they were Yorei from Eretz Israel to Babel. Kisin Ashvarim Ramile. Okay, the question was, he compared the kis case here to a shore case. What was the case? Ditznan haomer echad mishvarai hekdesh. You said one of my shorim is hekdesh. Hayu lo shnayim hagadol shebehen hekdesh. If you say one of my shvarim is hekdesh, if you had two shvarim, which one is hekdesh? The nicer one. So Rish Lakish asks, why wouldn't you say the same thing here? Wouldn't you say the nicest coin that's in the wallet, that's the one that's hekdesh? Amarle, seifa beomer lo yiftor kisem in a hekdesh. He says, no, because it's not a case where you just randomly said, it's where you said, I want to make sure this kis always has hekdesh in it, you know, or some, whatever, however exactly you translate this, right? But meaning that there'll always be hekdesh in this until the last one, and that's why. Rav Papa amer kisin alogin ramele. Rav Papa says the machloket was the question Rish Lakish asked was from the case of the log. And now we're going to get back to a case we've seen many times. If you remember the concept of brera, what's brera? Brera is when I say something, right? I designate something without actually designating it, and retroactively it becomes designated as the one. That's really what our case is. What's our case? It's one of them out is hektish. It turns out once you empty the whole wallet, when you empty the last one, you can say, oh, this was the one that was hektish. Right, where you can kind of retroactively designate that that's hekdesh. So Rav Papa says the question comes from the log case. What's a log? A log is a measurement of, and in this case it's of wine. It should be detanya, it's a breita. Halokech yayim miben akutim. If you remember this case, there's a debate about what this case is about. You buy wine from kutim. Okay, kutim are known not to necessarily take truman masrot. Now, either it was right before Shabbat, and you didn't have time to do truman masrot on Shabbat, and you want to drink the wine on Shabbat. Or, according to other explanations, it's that you didn't have a vessel to put the wine that you separate in. So you have nowhere to put it. You can't just separate it. So what do? You want to drink it, and you don't want to wait till you either get a new kli or till Shabbat's over. Omer, so you make the following declaration. Shnei login shani atid lafrish harein truma. Right? The assumption is it's 100. So two out of them, that's 1/50th. That's for truma. Asara, 10 of them are maser rishon, tishah maser sheni, because at that point you're left with less, you take maser on the maser sheni's on what's left. Umechal, and then you're mechalel, those maser sheni, you say, and these maser sheni, you're going to be mechulal on money I have in my house. Vishotemiyad, and you can drink immediately, divrei Rabbi Meir. That's because he holds yesh brera. So when you drink, and you drink everything, and you just leave over that amount, or a little more than that amount, whatever it is, when you're left with that amount at the end, right, or you get to a place where you can pour out that amount, brera, right, because what's the problem with wine? It all gets mixed up all, so you can't possibly drink it if there's truma in there. But we don't really care because it's not really designated as truma now. We'll designate it later, just like the ma'ot, okay?
And you can do that on Shabbat?
Yeah. According to that explanation of the brayta, yes, you can do it on Shabbat.
Today we're not allowed to do
ma'ot. Right, we don't generally mafrish. Right.
On Shabbat.
Right, we don't do that. Rabbi Yehuda, well, first of all, you can see, because Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Osrim, and there's an Aleph right next to them. So that's why we don't do it, okay? So they say you can't do this because ain brera. Okay, so what does this have to do with our case? So theoretically, it sounds like Rabbi Meir matches Rabbi Akiva. So why would they bring this as a koshi? So some people say the koshi is from Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon. But that's a strange koshi because theoretically you could just say, well, I hold like Rabbi Meir. But other people say, no, Rabbi Meir is actually a problem because according to Rabbi Meir, you have to actually declare this is this. In order for brera to work, you have to say, I'm setting aside, even though you're not actually physically setting aside. And in our case, he didn't set anything aside. He didn't say the last one. He just said, pruta, right, what were the words? Pruta min kis de hektish, which seemed very random. So maybe that's the question. It's a better way of asking the question. So Amar lei, seifa dematnitin. So again, Rabbi Yochanan's answer, we already know. Ba'omer lo yiftor kis de min a hektish. Okay, it's where he said, oh, I'm not going to redeem this right. I'm not going to let the kis be without hektish. And he did kind of make a declaration. Okay, and therefore it was very clear what his intention was, and that's why you could say yesh brera. Okay, before we say the Hadrons, I just want to end with a thought I had about the end of this Masechet and linking it back to actually Yom Kippur. This Masechet ends with a lot of dinim about shlichut. You send someone to do something and they do it, they don't do it, they, you know, do they do it right, do they not do it right, who's responsible? And I was thinking about the whole idea of Me'ila in general. What's Me'ila? It's taking something that was designated for God and using it, right? Using it improperly, which sounded a lot like the Shaliach doing the wrong Shlichut, right? It's almost, you almost think that the Masechet is in order to teach you a lesson. At the end of the Masechet, they're kind of starting to talk about all these examples. We can relate much better. It's always hard to understand the world of Hekdesh and relationship with God, but it's much easier to understand relationship with people. So they start talking at the end about this relationship between shlichut and doing your shlichut, you know, sending a shaliach and he doesn't do what you want, etc., in order for you to kind of envision yourself as the Baal HaBayit and then realize what it's like when it comes to Me'ila, that you're basically taking something, you're supposed to be a shaliach of God and this is supposed to be something that belongs to God, and you're taking it and you're misusing it. And that it's about this concept of kind of messing up, you know, something that you were supposed to do, even if it's shogeg, right? You didn't mean to, but you messed it up. And maybe it's using that image to kind of teach us about the dinim of Me'ila, that we're basically, you know, hekdesh belongs to God and we're acting as messengers of God. And then I was thinking that maybe it's actually also, if you take it to Yom Kippur and thinking about these days of Aser Yimei Tshuva, is about that in general we're shlichim of God. If you leave the realm of hekdesh and you take that as just an example for life, that our role in this world is to be shlichim of God. And if we view ourselves always as shlichim of God, then, you know, we'll obviously act differently than we would if we don't view ourselves as shlichim of God. And maybe this is a way of thinking about our role in this world and our relationship to God, and that we're really our job is basically to be messengers of God and to keep that in mind. So that was some thought for the end of the Masechet. And since it's Erev Yom Kippur, we'll end. Okay. Hadron alach masecha mila v'hadra chalan, datan alach masecha mila v'data chalan, lo nin Hashem inach masecha mila v'lotin Hashem inan, lo ba'al v'hadem v'lo ba'am da'ate. Hadron alach masecha mila v'hadra chalan, datan alach masecha mila v'data chalan, lo nin Hashem inach masecha mila v'lotin Hashem inan, lo ba'al v'hadem v'lo ba'am da'ate. Hadron alach masecha mila v'hadra chalan, datan alach masecha mila v'data chalan, lo nin Hashem inach masecha mila v'lotin Hashem inan, lo ba'al v'hadem v'lo ba'am da'ate. Yihi ratzon f'nach Adonai Eloheinu v'lehev v'tenu, sh'tei toratcha amanutenu v'olam hazeh, teimanu l'olam Hanina bar Papa Rami bar Papa Nachman bar Papa Achai bar Papa Abamari bar Papa Rachman bar Papa Rachish bar Papa Surcha bar Papa Ada bar Papa Dara bar Papa Harev na Adonai Eloheinu et Rei Torahcha b'finu v'fiviyatam cha b'Yisrael v'niyat kulanu anachnu v'tzatzeinu v'tzatzeim cha b'Yisrael kulanu yodei shemechav l'nodei Torahcha me'vaitecha me'ni v'tzatcha ki l'olam hili yihi libi tamim b'chulkecha l'man l'oevosh l'man l'oshkach b'kudecha ki b'am ki'itani baruch ata Adonai l'mdei l'chulkecha amen 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 sela v'ed yihi ratzon f'nech Adonai Elohai k'shem sh'zatcha אני מסיים מסך המילה, כן תעזרנו להתחיל מסכתות וספרים אחרים, לסיימם, ללמוד וללמד, לשמור, לעשות, לקיים מכל דורי תלמוד תורתך באהבה, וזכות כל התנאים והמוראים, תלמידי חכמים, יעמוד לנו ולזרענו, שלא ימוש התורה מפינו ומפי זרענו, וזרע זרענו עד עולם, ותתקיים בנו בתהלכך, תנחה אותך, ושפחה תשמור עליך, והקיצותה היא תשיחך. גיבור יבוא ימיך ויוסיף לך שנות חיים, אורך עם בינה, ושמאלה, אושר וכבוד. אדוני עוז עמו ייתן, אדוני יברך את עמו בשלום.